go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're visiting with Soren Kern, a man whose expertise and skill is much in evidence these days at the Gatestone Institute. It is a terrific resource. You can find it at gatestoneinstitute.org. His reporting on what's been going on in Europe is informing our conversation today, and I think should inform all of our thinking about a crisis that is not simply afflicting our friends and fellow members of the free world, but has real implications, as we'll discuss with him, for the United States as well. Soren, before we turn to the United States, let me just ask you a couple of other questions related to how this phenomenon, this million-person migration, or Hydra, the invasion, some have called it, mostly of Muslims into Europe, into which they are not assimilating, as a general rule, how this has come about. And I guess we have to start with Turkey. There's, of course, been the Syrian crisis there with the Libyan civil war and all of that. But most of these folks, as I understand it, would not be in Europe today but for the decision of the Erdogan regime in Turkey to facilitate their migration northward into Europe. What role have the Turks played, and what kind of response have they received to date from the Europeans?
Yeah, well, the Turks have played this brilliantly from their perspective. For many years, the Turks have tried to get into the EU, and the Europeans have essentially given them lip service. And for many years, the Turks have actually made a lot of changes into their legal systems and trying to adapt some of their human rights, I guess, issues to European standards, EU standards. The Turks have become very frustrated by their inability to continue to proceed with the EU accession talks. And this really has been stalled for a long time. And I think the Turks have really played this brilliantly because recently the Europeans have essentially made a lot of concessions to Turkey. Essentially, they gave Turkey 3 billion euros as an incentive to try to seal the borders. What the Europeans have now done is they've said that the EU accession talks are back on track. Now, I personally do not believe that Turkey will ever be a member of the EU. But if it were, you would instantly have a country with 90 million people, Muslim. The Muslim country, essentially, would be the most populous country of the EU. And so it would geopolitically completely transform the EU into essentially an Islamic power for one way to essentially look at it.
Well, at the very least, Soren, it would certainly be the case that once that large population of Muslims were inside the European Union boundaries and free, at least as has been the goal in Europe, to migrate at will anywhere inside the EU, you would certainly have a further transformation, if not all the way to the extreme that you've just described. It would make that parallel society problem you've described vastly worse, would it not?
Sure, and this is what one of the other issues of the EU project is: open borders. This issue has been sacrosanct for many, many years, and a lot of Europeans are beginning to realize that this is no longer viable, that you need to have border checks. There's a lot of resistance to doing the border checks. After the attacks in Paris, there were temporary border controls between France and Belgium and France and Germany and a number of the other countries. But clearly, if Turkey would become a member or even a close associate of the EU, and there is talk now that Turks can actually the process is beginning, essentially, to allow Turks to enter the EU without visas. This really would open a whole new security situation for the EU.
It really does seem as though this would be the death warrant for Europe as we've known it, and again, something that would be of profound concern to Americans as well. What I am being told, Soren, is that some of these folks are already able to utilize dual passports, whether they're fraudulent or legally obtained, to take advantage of our visa waiver program. And this, what you've just described, would greatly exacerbate that problem, needless to say. Let me ask you further, Soren. One of the controversies that has arisen in this country, as you probably are aware, in 2015, was over the description of some places in Europe. I think the kinds of places you're describing really as parts of the parallel societies are properly described as no-go zones. Whether that's the right term or not, is there in fact now a problem with parts of Europe, set Turkey aside, but parts of Europe where Muslim populations now essentially are able to govern and exclude the authorities of the nations in which they live from interfering with, I guess, the application, among other things, of Sharia?
Sure, these zones do exist. This is a taboo subject in Europe, and it's becoming a taboo subject in America as well. People try to ridicule anyone who uses the term no-go zone or tries to talk about this problem, but it is a very real problem. It's been very well documented by myself. It's been documented by British authorities, by, let's say, by British police, by people who are on the ground. It's been documented by French police who are on the ground. And most recently, it's been documented by German police unions who are afraid of entering certain sections, certain parts of German cities because of the Muslim populations in these areas, in these neighborhoods. It makes it very unsafe for police to go in their uniforms or to go in police cars without being stoned, without being without having to fear for their own lives. These are areas essentially where the nation state, whether it's Germany or the UK or France, have indeed lost sovereignty, lost control. It's largely a question of will. I guess if the French state really wanted to recover some of these areas, it could. But for political reasons, I guess, or for not trying to agitate the Muslim populations in these communities, they essentially let them do what they want to do in these areas.
But this really does seem to raise the question that at some point, if they need to reestablish control, and it seemed as though the French were sort of testing that proposition in the aftermath of the most recent attacks in Paris, in some of the so-called banlieue, that they risk really conflagrations with those populations. And I'm assuming that's why they've refrained from addressing them as they should have long before now. Soren, this is a topic we may need to continue, but let me just ask you quickly. Another aspect of what's been happening in terms of the transformation of Europe at the hands of, or at least under the strong influence of, if not the present wave of migrants, previous waves, is a certain propensity within Europe to restrict freedom of speech. You've reported on a pastor in Belfast, who was prosecuted by the British government for having done this. He's not alone. Talk, if you would, a little bit about what that is about and what it might mean for one of the most fundamental freedoms of Europe, the freedom of speech.
Sure. I think that in all of these countries, what's driving restrictions on the no-go zones, on free speech and all that is fear. There's a real fear by European authorities that that Muslim minorities in their countries will rebel or will go on riots, as we've seen in France. And I think that there's an attempt really by European countries, by governments, to restrict criticism of Muslims, of Islam.
Soren, hold the thought. We'll be right back with more with Soren Kirk of the Gatestone Institute right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.